This is Pastor Emre. Revelation 16, 17, and 18 prophesy of a world government called Mystery Babylon ruling over a world divided into three parts. Strangely, a look at our present world shows us that Russia is dominating about one-third, China dominates about one-third, and something called capitalism rules the remaining one-third. Each of these three claim the other two are their enemies. However, an examination of their total policies reveals an amazing amount of cooperation between these three parts in their oppression of the people. They can even conduct wars in which millions of people die, yet the power base of the rulers remains intact and grows stronger. Is it possible? The world is already ruled by Mystery Babylon. Stay tuned.
It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. Revelation 16, verses 18 and 19. And there were voices, and thunders, and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. I read those verses last week, and we saw that the earthquake here, seen in vision by John, is obviously the shaking of the earth, prophesied by the prophet. It is not one huge physical quake, as some have taught, but the shaking of the systems of man's rule and man's wicked ways upon the earth, to eventually bring them to a point of destruction so that they will end and Christ's reign upon the earth will begin. This shaking is prophesied by Isaiah, Jeremiah, Haggai, Zechariah, and others in the old scriptures, and the reason for it is given by Paul in his letter to the Hebrews. For those who were not with us last week, I will read that in Hebrews, and you can keep this as a reference whenever any of your church friends or your minister might want to tell you that the planet is going to experience some monstrous quake at some time in the future, and then they quote Revelation 16, 18. Then after I read Hebrews, I'm going to go on about Babylon being divided into three parts after I make our monthly literature offer. Hebrews 12, verses 25 through 28, Paul warns that God will shake the earth and gives the reason for the shaking or the earthquaking. Verse 25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. And there he's reminding them of our Israel forefathers who disobeyed God in the wilderness after he spoke at Mount Sinai, in other words, on the earth, that they perished in the wilderness and did not go on into the promised land of Canaan, whose voice then shook the earth, referring to the shaking at Mount Sinai, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this is a quote from Haggai 2:6, which we read last week. The heaven here being, as I have explained in other Bible studies, the organizations of rulership or government upon the earth. Then Paul goes on to explain the reason for the shaking and what will be accomplished by it. Verse 27, "And this word yet once more signifieth," or signifies, "the removing of those things that may be shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." And that which cannot be shaken is then identified by Paul in the very next sentence. "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." What is to be left after God is through shaking the heavens and the earth? Well, the kingdom of Jesus Christ upon the earth. That is what the whole Bible is about. That is what Abraham was promised, and Isaac, and Jacob, and the Israel people. That is what Paul meant in Romans 4:13, when he said Abraham was to be heir of the world. That is what Haggai meant when he followed his prophecy of God shaking the heavens and the earth with these words, "And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." That is the time when every knee will bow and every tongue confess, when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That is what the seventh angel announced in Revelation 11:15. "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." That is the stone of Daniel 2, the stone cut out without hands, which smote the image upon its feet and brake them in pieces. The angel told Daniel in verse 44 that stone would break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever, and he identified that stone as the kingdom. So many of our people are so convinced they will be raptured before any of these great things happen that they shut their eyes to the truth that this shaking is going on now and has been going on for some time. And they will be here right on through Babylon's fall and the beginning of the kingdom. I've read during the last week at least a dozen passages regarding this shaking and the other events which will lead to the destruction of the rule of the wicked and the ungodly, and not one of them makes any mention of the believers being gone. In fact, verse 28 of Hebrews 12 has an alternate rendering in the margin of most Bibles for the phrase, "Let us have grace," that would make the first half of that verse read, "Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us hold fast." Our rapture-minded Christians want to let go, to leave the earth. Yet God warns us to hold on. Jesus told us quite plainly in his parable of the tares and the wheat that the tares would be removed first, not the wheat, and then, after the tares are removed, shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Matthew 13, verse 43. Now, that is enough about the earthquake being the shaking of the governments and the people of the earth prophesied in the Bible. The next verses explain some of the results of that shaking, and they need some comment in just a moment. But I better pause here and list our marked packet of free literature before I go on. Our free packet this month consists of four items: a 20-page tract by Dr. Snook titled "The Least in the Kingdom," whom Dr. Snook identifies as those who preach that Christ put away the law. They are really anarchists masquerading as Christians, for if God's law has been put away, then we are without law. We have anarchy. And the Bible says there is only one lawgiver, even God. Jesus said that those who taught such a thing would be called least in the kingdom, and that includes a goodly percentage of ministers in the pulpits of America today. I'll also send you my tract, Where is Your Soul After Death? This is a Bible study of death, the grave, hell, heaven, the soul, and so on. And for those who think that their minister follows the teaching of the great Protestant reformers on this subject, I quote William Tyndale and John Wesley in my tract. William Tyndale wrote to a Catholic priest these words, quote, "Ye, in putting departed souls in heaven, hell, and purgatory, destroy the arguments wherewith Christ and Paul prove the resurrection." End of quote. John Wesley, founder of what is known as the Methodist churches today, wrote this, "It is indeed supposed that souls of good men, as soon as dislodged from the body, go directly to heaven. But this opinion has not the least foundation in the oracles of God." End of quote. Those quotes are in my tract. Today in America and in Europe, most of the Christian churches teach that believers do not really die, but just go directly, in some conscious form, to heaven, and that the unbelievers go immediately to a place of fire and torture, where they spend eternity in horrible pain. The men of the Christian Reformation in Europe taught no such terrible doctrines. They branded those teachings as Roman heresy, and Martin Luther called them Satan's lie. One of the truths which destroyed the power of the Roman Catholic Church over Europe was the truth that there is no such place as the torturing hell of Catholicism, that it is a figment of men's minds, that it is a pagan belief. God Almighty threatens no such terrible thing, that He will put men in a place of torture, a place of agony and cruelty for ages on end. That is not the God of the Bible that men teach will do such a thing. That is a God of their own wicked imaginations, a God they have concocted to use to rule over men. If you have been taught that unbelievers and most of the billions of people who live on the earth will burn in hell forever and ever,
the Bible is an amazingly consistent book, where every doctrine exactly agrees all of the way through, whether in the Law, the Prophets, or in the New Testament. Now let's go to Babylon being divided into three parts. Revelation 16:19, after the verse about the great earthquake, says this, "And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell." There are several things here. The great city is obviously Mystery Babylon, as she is also called a city in the next chapter, Revelation 17, where in verse 18 she is identified as that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. It says it was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. The cities of the nations would be the governments of the nations, just as Mystery Babylon is the city or the government over all the kings of the earth. So the governments of the nations of the world fell, and that is largely complete today. Almost every non-communist government in all of the world has fallen and has been replaced by a government controlled by secret or open communists, or what is being described in these chapters as Babylon. That Babylon, or world communism, operates today in three parts is obvious to students of current events, although many of them know nothing of Bible prophecy. World communism, or the people who control world communism from behind the scenes, have it divided into three spheres of influence. One is the Russian sphere, largely Northern Asia or Russia and Eastern Europe, including Poland, Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, Hungary, and so on.
The second part of Mystery Babylon is the control over the United States, the Western Hemisphere, England, and Western Europe. The third part of Babylon is the Chinese sphere of influence in Eastern Asia, India, Southeastern Asia, such as Vietnam, Cambodia, and so on. And this third part, or the Chinese part, also includes what the communists like to call the Third World, referring to the non-white peoples in Africa and Eastern Asia. Now, God had an angel give John a vision almost 1900 years ago of a great anti-Christian power in control over most of the earth, and showed John that as the governments of the nations fell, this power would be executed in three parts. Mystery Babylon would not seem to be a monolithic world structure, but would be a tripartite world ruling system. That world communism is a world ruling system is obvious to anyone who studies current world history. As the United States fights on one side of a war in Vietnam, and Russia and China fight on the other side, and publicly declare each other to be enemies, the rulers of America, of China, and of Russia carry on negotiations, trade, exchanges, information, and visit each other just as if they had no disagreement. And in truth, they have none. The rulers are in complete agreement. The disagreements are but show to fool the people into thinking that they must be prepared for war and even fight in wars against each other to protect themselves from each other. The wars and the preparations for war, including unbelievable taxation, go into the hands of the rulers of each of these three parts of Mystery Babylon, making them rich. That is why our Secretary of State and our President can put their arms around and hug Mao Zedong of China and Khrushchev and Brezhnev of Russia and smile fondly upon each other and show genuine friendship. They are friends. They are fellow compatriots in the plunder and robbery of all of the peoples of the earth. But their robbery of the people would not work if the people realized there was no real reason for war and for preparedness for war against other people. Americans would not allow themselves to be taxed $80 billion every year for defense, or over $2.5 trillion since 1950, unless they were convinced by their statesmen that America must fear Russia and China. The same thing goes on in Russia and China. So Babylon's world government is never seen by the people of the world as one entity. All of the people see it as disagreeing nations and peoples who must continually be armed for war, and in fact must often fight great battles and wars such as World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and a score of other minor wars around the world. All of these wars end up without destroying any of the power of the ruling anti-Christians, but actually exalt their power over the nations. And the Christian peoples are the major suppliers of money and blood for the wars. You would think that after 65 years of the growth of world communism, that some of these Christian people would begin to suspect that their rulers are not opposed to world communism, but actually support it. But few seem to grasp such an obvious truth. Our fields, our factories, and our pocketbooks are stripped to build up Russian industry and to send food to save the communist government of China, and foolish Christians still think our rulers are opposed to communism. No, my friends in Christ, what you are watching are the three parts of Mystery Babylon, operating in cooperation to control and enslave all the peoples of the earth, that the robbing of the people of their wealth is the major goal of Babylon the Great is obvious from some of the phrases in Revelation 18, such as verse 3, "The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Verse 11, "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her." Verse 19, "They cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea." That last verse is obviously being fulfilled today, for much of the wealth of the merchants of the earth is coming from trade between nations and continents. As an example, American-owned oil companies sold gasoline and oil to North Vietnam and to the U.S. Army during the Vietnam War, making hundreds of millions of dollars from both sides on that one product alone. Natural gas is used to make both fertilizer and explosives, used in bullets, cannons, shells, grenades, bombs, and so on. Both sides of the war bought their natural gas from the same world oil cartels. More billions into the pockets of the merchants of Babylon. Merchandise made in communist countries by people forced to work for low wages makes almost unbelievable profits to the merchants who handle their sales in other countries. Babylon profits on trade between continents, on merchandise moved by ships in the sea. Wheat is grown in America, paid for by the taxes forcibly taken from the American workers, then given outright to the rulers of Russia and China, and they then sell it to countries in Africa and Eastern Europe. Profit, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, to a few thousand people who call themselves communists, but who work in cooperation with the same people in other countries who call themselves capitalists. All of them a part of an oppressive system of rule prophesied in detail in the Bible. Future? Nonsense. It is happening right before our eyes. The anti-Christian rule of mystery, Babylon the Great, is here for any to see who will read God's Word and look at today's world through eyes enlightened by God's truth. In verse 20 of Revelation 16 it says, "And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found." Now mountains and hills and islands are terms often used by the prophets to indicate nations. And almost every nation of the world has lost its own sovereignty and is ruled by treaties and agreements engineered through the United Nations and controlled by world communism. South Vietnam is an example of a nation which refused to follow a United Nations order to form a coalition government with communists. The result? America was ordered by the United Nations to send in an army under the guise of saving South Vietnam, and in the process destroyed almost every city and village in that nation. America, operating under UN orders, destroyed not one city or village in North Vietnam, but confined all fighting to the soil of the people who resisted communism. Today, 10 years later, South Vietnam is under world communism, or Mystery Babylon. In America, new laws on equal rights for women, for control of small businesses, and the 1001 controlling laws on pollution, land use, zoning, and so on, all originate in the United Nations. The UN has ordered that the United States government disarm its citizens, so gun registration and gun confiscation laws are being passed. The UN has ordered the United States to supply free food to other nations, so the men who rule us are arranging shipments of our food to wherever the United Nations orders. That means nothing to the wicked rulers of our people. What matters is their place in the multi-billion dollar operation of the world trade of Mystery Babylon. But praise God for the hope in the last part of that verse 19, where we are told that when Mystery Babylon is divided into three parts, then she would come in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Her division into three parts is observable today. The time for her total destruction must be soon at hand. God willing, we'll go on in Revelation 17 next time and read of her destruction and what will be revealed to the oppressed people of the earth as Mystery Babylon the Great falls. I shall return next week to continue our study, What is Mystery Babylon? Until then, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.